Yeah, I could.
Morning.
Morning, Craig. Hi, Gert. Can you hear me? Guys. I was muted, so I was just talking to myself. Okay, so
Hey, I go.
yeah, hey Jason. So guys, let's do a status update. Let's focus on the non-ZFL issues because these tend to take a lot of time. And then we have the time, we can just briefly talk about ZFL. I dropped this meeting to half an hour because I need to leave to pick up my son from school. So let's try to keep this under 30 minutes. All right, so let me just see. Maybe let's start with you, Kurt. Do you have any updates?
Sorry, muted there. A few things. Yeah, so I did look into this 500 error that we were having, and I think it's what's going on is because the XML formatter or whatever is not thread safe. There is a fix for that in master, but it has not been deployed to prod or testnet yet. I know it's not. It's not. I know it's on not on prod. I don't think it's on test either. But it was something that came before. And fixes in. It's just that we haven't had a deployment since, or a release since to incorporate that change.
But why
And
isn't
if
that
we,
deployed? I'm sorry, just quick question. Why isn't that deployed to prod? Was that released?
I
No.
do not think it's made it into whatever. We haven't done a release since the fix has gone in. I mean, the fix has been there for at least a month now, I think, and
Okay,
we have.
RC16 is the last one. I see this. That's September 25th. And since then, we had, since September 25th, we.
It's October 6th there, the add render for 500 errors. And
Yeah.
so you can see that one there, that the delimiter change would be included in that release as well if we cut a new one from the tip.
Okay. All right, well then Ian needs to make a release. Is that it? Okay, let's dive in here.
Sorry, I'm sitting here talking muted. Is the release something that we need to cut and then pass it to Ian, or does he just take it and go?
Well, I think so far he's been the one making the releases, no? Well, then we probably continue with the trend. It seems that I see 17 and 8. Okay. So I'll reassign that to Ian. Thank you for looking into the skirts. What about the Jasper stuff?
That I have not returned to. I think we were gonna ask Mallory if how critical it was. I don't know. I haven't heard. I don't think I've heard anything back since.
Yeah, she's a location. So, okay. Question is, can she even do it?
I mean, I guess she can at least tell us if people are experiencing like problems with the pull slips, right? Have we had anyone saying that, hey, that pull slips can't be made, or is it just like some intermittent thing that just pops up every now and again?
Yeah, I guess. And those issues would be related to what? Correct.
Pull slip generation.
Pull slip generation?
Yeah. You know, basically when it has to create the PDF file.
Okay, so this would happen when they try to generate the pull slip, right?
Yes.
Will be surprising if that didn't. I mean, that would be one of the things they mentioned right away. Okay. Anything else we should talk? Well, those items in review, are we? Are we getting
So
close?
this one is in code review, the one for the protected fields. Because I just thought y'all might want to look into see how I did it and see whether that makes sense or not. So I
Yeah.
put that one in
Did
code review.
you tap me on this? Because it doesn't
I
show up for me.
thought I did, but maybe I forgot to. But you should be tagged on that one as a reviewer. But yeah, so you can just kind of see how I did it, and I added a field called dummy password that gets redacted
I
if
don't
they don't have to run.
understand why this doesn't show up in the list of my requests, but that's a different problem. Okay, I'll have a look.
And then the other one that's in re the other one is actually in review, which is the one for the reject injecting the request context. So that one I initially I did it, and then I had some review with Jason, made some changes. I went ahead and merged it in, so that one's there.
So that this has been merged.
Yes.
The other one, okay. Good. I'm just going to take a couple of between
So this one is waiting. So this one, we ran into the problem because the deployed version of Stripes wasn't, it didn't have the was it use query or there was a the or use setting hook that Jason had added. So I don't know how we resolve whether or not we were going to update the
David has updated that.
okay. Do you know if it's working now, or does it need to be going? I guess Mallory needs to go and test it, or what was
I
it?
mean, it looks like it works, but
Okay, all right.
it doesn't blow up anymore in the same way, so it's got that going for it.
So I guess we just leave it in
I'll...
review until we can get just confirmation that it's working, right?
Just start to review. Maybe she can close this. Okay. All right. Anything else, Kurt?
No, that's it for me.
Okay. Do you have like a your next task?
Actually, I could use something new to he has some things. The only other thing to return to would be the Jasper thing right now. Unless there's some other things that would be better to work on.
Yeah, I think we should do the Jasper thing. That doesn't sound to me like it's critical. So I think we probably just want Mallory to review. I think it will be best if you picked up some directory related issue. So I don't know what's next on the table. We need to chat about this all. But otherwise, I can try to see. Maybe I can ask you to look into a broker ticket.
Sure.
Do you feel comfortable doing that? Maybe you
I
could
mean, yeah, I'm sure
start.
I would take maybe some acclimation, but I mean, I think eventually I need to get into it anyway, so I think that sounds like a good idea.
Okay. Let me think about it then. Okay.
Right. Sure.
Because I need to take a look at what tickets we have there. Okay, let's move to Jason. Jason, any updates?
Yeah, so I was thinking about how to get UIRS in the right sort of shape. I started out just pulling a bunch of stuff out of the request listing and figuring out how the responses will probably look from the patron request endpoint and the broker. And I set up Nginx just to spit out a static JSON file in the meantime, so that I can hit that while you're getting the module descriptor ready, so that I can actually use the live service. Do you know if that's going to happen soon?
Maybe I initially thought that I could just add some entries, but I had to block this ticket on a ticket that I assigned to Yannis, this API improvement ticket. So there needs to be some changes done. But I think he will be working on this in the coming days. So yeah, maybe a day or two. This one is in pull request review. I saw this in code review. And then this one, I think this should be in review. So I think this should be done soon. So, but not before this one is completed, because he needs to add some. It's missing some stuff. I actually saw that it's missing that special handling that we do for the other APIs. There's like a switch there that checks what's the root path on which this thing is being conducted. And if the root path is slash broker, then it applies all the tenant header checks and all that stuff, and that's just not done the same way. So he needs to fix that up. And at the same time, yeah, do a couple of fixes that I think you also mentioned. So this will take a day. So I think if you can run it somehow or use some, like run it locally or do
Oh, I was
something
just
else.
faking it for now. But so maybe I should actually just right now I have it checking to see if it's an array at the top level, and or checking to see if it's in items. But maybe I should just assume that it's going to be in items, for example, for page.
You should assume, yeah. I think you should assume. And it will use this about schema, right, that we have in the IL transactions. So the limit and offset parameter for paging. So I think that you should assume that, yeah.
And then should
And
I
that.
start setting it up to use CQL?
Yeah, I think so. I think for everything that is not related to like ownership checks, use SQL for all of that. So in principle, I think I told you that it will behave the same way as the IL transaction API, which looks at a tenant header, and it just kind of magically applies. And maps that to a symbol and uses that as a special filter. So for those we will use standard HTTP parameters, so we can distinguish them from, like, regular filtering things. So, in for this patron request API, there will be like three parameters that are behave this way. Side, which is like something that you will hard code depending on the app, right? We have those two sides, borrowing and lending. So effectively, those are two different lists, but we just decided to keep them in the same table. I don't know, maybe that's not the best idea, but we'll see. So this will be like a standard HTTP parameter, and then requester symbol and supplier symbol, which you will not set when you use the slash broker path, right? So they will just apply to this global list that we tend to access as, consortial admins, when you can just see all requests across the board. But for your
Right, so it'll
case,
filter it for the app already.
it will be like mapped from the tenant header, so I don't think you need to worry about this.
Okay,
But yeah,
so it'll just be side, basically. I'll filter on side.
well, yeah, side, but that should also be like static filter, right? That you apply per your app, because that will just give you
Yeah,
the
exactly. If you're
global.
in the request app, you're on the requester side or borrowing side, and on the supply app, you're lending or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And then for the CQL, I think you can give me a list of what fields you need. So we'll just add them as we go. I wrote to him that he should add the state. The state one, but he probably needs to add some additional ones. So check which ones you need, and then give him a list, or post a list to the channel. I'll create a ticket for Giannis to start adding them, or Adam.
Okay.
Was there anything else? You might want to start looking at that slash events endpoints at some point, maybe, just to kind of see. Although I don't think it's merged yet, so maybe just wait until it's merged. I still need to review it. But this is
Yeah, I'll probably.
the C endpoint for like pushing down the updates to the UI, right?
Oh, interesting. It's SSE.
It's SSE, but only for the stuff that ha
Yeah,
yeah, only for the stuff that happens out of the regular synchronous actions, right? So the actions that you're gonna trigger from the UI, we made them synchronous. So the broker actually blocks the connection, and then we'll give you the update down as a HTTP response.
nice. I like
Yeah.
that. That actually makes it simpler to implement. Does
Yeah,
that include
I hope so.
creating requests to synchronicity? Synchronicity?
Yeah, but the way you
Because
get it.
the old one was really annoying, because the create request, it would immediately create it, but it wouldn't assign the HR ID until like later.
Yeah, but we split that into two steps. One for creating the request, and then you need to execute the send action for the request to actually post it. So I don't think that's going to make any much of a difference for you, but that send action is of course synchronous. So
Okay.
once you execute it, but the
No, that's fine.
posting.
It's just the current one, we had no indication when the request was finished creating, so we just had to put in a sleep, basically, which was lame.
Yeah, I get that.
So for the events, I don't know, do we want to start out by having it like noticing updates and refetching the request if an event happens? Or is that kind of like a later optimization?
Probably later, but you can just take a look at it. It looked relatively easy to me with that event source API. But yeah,
I just
it
wonder
has to
how it's
be.
going to work with Okapi.
I don't think that there's gonna be a huge difference. Because Okapi is streaming. So I don't think that there's gonna be much difference really, but because from what I can tell, this is like a regular HTTP endpoint that the browser has some special handling for. Like it essentially the browser automatically reopens it when It gets closed by the network, so that's really how it works. But this is not like an HTTP extension, you know, this is standard HTTP. This as a yeah, so just be aware of this, and then yeah. And when you get to the point where you start doing some refreshes in the UI or receiving notifications, you know, like when you get to the chat section, then this will become relevant. And then you asked me about like some endpoints to get the actions and stuff like that. I think there is already an API for getting actions from
There
a.
is one for the actions, yes. I was asking about the states. Because in order
So.
to like have the filter in the request list to be able to select which state you want to show, we have to get a list of states from somewhere. But you said this ticker from the YAML for now, so I'll just do that.
And then you can also just map that file into JSON if you prefer, and then just load up the whole thing. We're just gonna yeah, we're just gonna make an endpoint that returns that to you. So you have like a way to fetch it in the UI. And after
So we'll still
the
need to have like is there's going to be a different state model for the returnables versus non-returnables, possibly? Or how will we differentiate those?
Yeah, I think so. I think there will be at least on the you know, like from the API point of view, there will be like two state models. Unless there's a really, I mean, well, so that's what I was thinking, that we just give you, are you looking at my screen? Yeah. So we just give you like an endpoint called state models, and then there will be returnables initially, and then non-returnables, and whatever else we will have in the future.
Digital returnables.
Digital returnables and so forth. We can also, if it makes sense, I don't know if it makes sense, we can just make it a parameter on the state. But then I feel like this is worse. So the question is like whether you ever need you have a reason to fetch all states across all state models.
Yeah, for this purpose. Like you kind of want to be able to have a facet. It'd actually be nice to be at real facets, but I don't know how ambitious that would be to implement in Postgres. You'd want to list, be able to select whatever state that you want to limit the list by. So show me all the requests that are currently awaiting shipping or whatever. That's what that's
I
for.
mean, you could also just concatenate them. So we could give you the list of all state models. You could prefetch them, but maybe it's easier for you if we just keep you like this.
Yeah, well, it's particularly tricky when you have the like if this the state is just the same across all of them, that's fine. But we had an issue where in ModRS some of the state models had a different state that did the same thing. And so we wound up having to translate it so that it could indicate which state model that was from. It's like searching returnables or whatever, because it was, yeah. So we may run into that same problem, or maybe we'll be able to have it a little bit cleaner now, so that if the state means this, anything with the same semantic meaning will just be the same across all models would be ideal, but.
I think so. It probably makes sense to try to keep them aligned. Let me think about this a little bit. I'll also chat with Giannis the way we have structured that internally. But actually, it doesn't matter all that much. We can build both kinds of APIs. So if
Well, do you think it's worth maybe just trying to do it as actual facets? Like, does the indexing in Postgres allow us to do that? So then we don't have to have all these filter dropdowns populated from various endpoints. We can just get that with our request list. It's like, here's the facets that are appropriate for this list. And it also means there's less items, like they can see which are the actual things that are represented in the list. It adds information. It's a better UI.
Maybe that's not a bad idea. Let
But
me
I don't
get
know how hard
Python.
it is, right? Like I've never tried making fastest with Postgres, whereas things like Solr have it built in.
Well, you know, for those couple hundred items, thousand items that we have, maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe we can just recalculate them.
Well,
There is some.
it's something that there's probably best practices around it, because it's not like we're the first people to want it, so.
Well, there's this full text searching, right, in Postgres that we probably need to look into if we want some well performing facets. I'll take a look at that because yeah, if we could just return that to you and the response, then maybe it's easier for you. You don't have to worry about this. For
But like I
now,
say, it would
just
just be better, because then you wouldn't have to choose a list of, like, for example, at ZFL, they were saying they had 4,000 institutions or something, and so they needed that to be able to, that drop down to be able to hold all 4,000, because there wasn't real faceting, so it didn't just show them the ones that are actually represented in the in their search results.
What was that facet for?
What institution is on the other end of the transaction? So it's like all the, you're the requester for all the ones in the request app, but then there's different suppliers. So you would choose, oh, I want to see only the requests that involve this particular supplier.
Yeah, now I see.
And so because they had 4,000 possible suppliers, they needed that to support all of them, because it wasn't giving them a real facet of actually, in your search result that only had like 100 entries, there's actually 50 possible suppliers or something, like.
But
No, you get the whole 4,000.
but it's still a static list, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a very dynamic value. I mean, that's going to
Well, it is. It's
eventually.
based on your search results.
Well, or
But
you
yeah,
just fetch it.
the.
That what I mean is you can also fetch it externally, right? I mean, like from the directory or whatever. But yeah,
Right, but
does it?
that will give you all of them. The point being is that it's useful to be able to see in the context of your query, that list of requests only has this small number of possible suppliers.
No, sure. I see value generally in facets, right? I mean, it's just that it might be something that requires
Yeah, no, I guess that's why I was asking. Like, if you like take a look and see what it would take to do. If it's going to be hard, we can just. Because we don't, it's not worth spending like a month on it or something. But if we don't have to go far out of our way, it would be cleaner.
I think so. Okay, I took a note of that, so I'll take a look at this. In the meantime, maybe just focus on this returnable state model, because like this, even if we give you like a compound view, I don't think the schema will change much, right? Because the schema is a state model is basically a collection of states. So if we return a compound view, I think the schema here, the only thing that will change in the schema will be that you will have some sort of field in the state that gives you the state model name, and the rest will be pretty much the same, right? So it'll be like a super state model.
And we won't even need to, we won't even use that, because we'll want to store that in the translations on the UI side, unless we're going to have translations stored on the server side for those states.
No, I think we should just keep the translations in the UI. So, you know, just feed those strings into
Right.
trans
So
some sort
all
of
it needs is a
filter.
list of codes.
Yeah.
So I
Yeah,
might
but
just parse a list of codes out of it.
take them from here, right? Because like they will keep on changing, so we'll just keep that file up to date for now. Okay. All right. So, yeah, and then if anything else comes up, yeah, just post, and then we'll just keep on creating tickets, right? Because like there's a lot of stuff that we probably did not we didn't flesh out too much. Because the focus so far has been really on just getting the thin thread, right? Just getting it to work. But I think at this point we once he merges the events endpoints and makes those API improvements that should probably have done it right away. But I don't think that's a lot. And Adam is finished with the ANSIP on the supplier side, and we pretty much have that thin thread, so you can just start, building out individual bits, right? Especially the stuff that's missing. But we'll just take it as we go, right? I mean, so I think, Jason, as much exploration as you can do, the better, because that will make me informed, right? And what sort of tickets we need to create, and we can also discuss like what order those things should be done in.
Would it be useful to make a list of the other stuff that's not part of this thin thread of just sort of listing and viewing requests that is broadly consumed by UIRS? So just try to like itemize like the pull slips and the host LMS locations and the whatever else.
I think so. I mean, the list is always good, right? With the pull slips, there was the reason why I just left it out completely, because I have this feeling that we should be generating pull slips client side with something much more capable than this bullshit backend, Java library. But no, but capture it, right? And we'll just discuss it.
Okay, and that's something I can
All right.
work on today, because like it just seems like if I spend all my time mocking all this stuff, then I'll just have to like that'll be useful for about 2 days until Yanis does that, and
Well, it still might
then I
be
can use the
useful.
real service.
But on the other hand, right? I mean, it keeps you kind of isolated from this ongoing development, which is going to change the input for a bit. So I don't know. Like tracking
Because
the
another quick
mainstream.
question. Yeah, well, there is that. But either way, I'll have to keep updating stuff. So it's gonna, if it's changing, it's changing. So I'll still like, I'll just need to change it a day later. It works out the same. So the other thing was like, you were saying that we're probably not going to, I asked this on Slack, maybe you already answered there. But the sort of detail view is for now going to be the exact same as the thing, the object that was returned in the array in the list view. And so if we foresee that is probably the way it's going to be for the first release even, that maybe I should actually figure out some way to cache that so it doesn't refetch it when you go to the detail view. Or is that not worth thinking about and just refetch it for now? Like if you go to the page for request 123, that it will actually go to patron request slash 123 in the back end and fetch that again versus trying to find some way to get that from your most recent search results.
I'm sorry, Jason. I need to get going, guys, because my wife is calling me. But I wouldn't worry about it about this too much, unless this is made very easy by Redux or whatever the state management you guys are doing. Then, of course, use it, but for caching. But I don't
No.
think we should worry about it too much.
We're currently just doing it based on the HTTP request, so it's not done for us. So I'd have to actually do
No,
extra stuff, and you're
don't.
saying, no, don't do it. All right, I won't.
Yeah, don't do it. I mean, this is like we've talked about some bytes, right? Getting fetched again. I'm not worried about
That's more like the
that.
delay, but yeah, that's all. Okay,
All right, guys, I
cool.
need to wrap up. So Jason, don't hesitate to just post whenever you have some stuff, right? Just take it
Thanks,
from
will
there.
do.
All right, thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.